Dr. John Green, professor of political science, University of Akron. He's been with me for over 20 years off and on here on The Morning Show. And John, good morning. Thanks for joining me again this morning. And I guess let's get right to it. And that's on the Republican Party with the GOP. Chris Christie speaking out a little bit this week. Mitch McConnell going down a little bit of a different road pertaining to Donald Trump. Talk about what this means to that party going forward, and is there a big divide?
Well, you know, it turns out there is a big divide in the Republican Party, and we're seeing it partly with presidential ambitions. I think Chris Christie, former governor in New Jersey, would still very much like to be president. He's not alone there. You know, he was speaking out this last week, but there are a bunch of other people who would like to run for president, including former Vice President Mike Pence. And, you know, but the big issue is, you know, what to do with Donald Trump. You know, he's a divisive figure, but in the Republican Party, he has a very strong following. Some of those people are folks that didn't used to think of themselves as Republicans. So that's a big plus for the Republican Party. But on the other hand, there are a lot of Republicans that are just very uncomfortable with Trump for a whole variety of reasons. And, you know, they represent a group of more traditional Republicans who, you know, would like to see a somewhat change in direction. So the real fissures, in both parties, but we're talking about the Republicans now, some of it's style, some of it's substance, but it's all being a little bit papered over at the moment because the Republicans sense that they have a really good opportunity in this year's midterm election maybe to take over the Congress again, to win some key governorships around the country. So everybody's kind of holding their breath. And part of this is to see what kind of influence Donald Trump has with the Republican candidates that are running this year. You know, he's been out endorsing people. And some of the people he endorses have been doing well. Some of them not so well. So, you know, people are just kind of waiting to see. And then I think, honestly, Ray, the gloves are going to come off. And those fissures are going to become very evident to all of us.
Yeah, and they have to do it relatively quickly. Don't you agree, John? Because 2024 really isn't that far away. And if they have any hope at all, they need to mend those fences and come together.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And, you know, there's sort of two stages to this. I mean, one is, you know, having a very thorough discussion, you know, in the Republican Party about, you know, what rank-and-file Republicans want to do about this. But also, of course, the individual candidates, people who might want to run, you know, first for the Congress or for governor, you know, this year, but also, of course, in 2024, you know, they need to decide, you know, what decisions they're going to make because it's really upon us. So think about it. 8 months from now, we'll have our midterm election. But then, and that's in November, and but then in January 2023, the next presidential cycle begins.
Yes.
It's hard to believe that it's almost upon us.
It is. Dr. John Green with us, professor of political science, University of Akron. So let's go to the other party right now. President Joe Biden's plate, man, it has been full since he moved into the office, the pandemic, and now you got the escalating situation in the Ukraine. And that, of course, that involves not only the Ukraine, Russia, sidebar stories with China and Germany and France and these other countries. Talk about how you feel he is doing right now in handling all those situations, John.
Well, you're right. It has been a really rough year for President Biden. I think a particularly rough year because we have particularly novel problems, you know, the pandemic and so forth, not to mention the regular, ordinary kinds of problems that presidents have to face. You know, the Democrats are very nervous, and we've seen, because they're in power, we've seen their divisions between the more progressive Democrats and the more moderate Democrats, you know, very much on display. You know, some of the difficulties President Biden's had with trying to get his legislative agenda approved in Congress. That's part of the reason that his approval numbers are down. You know, people expect, whether they agree with the president or not, they expect the president to get stuff done. And that's been very hard for President Biden. Having said that, I mean, there is some good news for him. The economy is recovering. There's reason to believe that, you know, later this year, maybe the pandemic will have subsided a little bit. You know, a lot of people are just saying, look, we just got to get used to it. You know, COVID's here, and we have to return to some sense of novelty, but then a normalcy rather. But then, of course, we got these foreign policy problems. And, you know, if Joe Biden brought any credentials to the White House, and I think he brought a whole lot of them, it was his experience in foreign affairs. And this is a really serious crisis, you know, with Russia mobilizing its troops to pressure the Ukraine, and Joe Biden really going toe-to-toe with him, mobilizing NATO and pushing back on the Russian demands. Very volatile situation. You know, if there's anything that could turn around the president's numbers and the prospects for the Democrats, it would be resolving this crisis successfully, you know, without giving up any principles, without getting anybody killed. I mean, that would be a real feather in the president's cap.
You know, John, the one thing that I think has been beaten down, there was a lot of speculation that Joe Biden was going to get into the office and be a caretaker and wasn't going to push the envelope and just wanted to right some wrongs, to say, in diplomacy. But I think he has been everything but a caretaker of the country. And I think you were alluding to that moments ago. He's gone toe-to-toe with Vladimir Putin. He's been pretty aggressive, I think, in the foreign affairs.
I think he really has. And, you know, there are two pieces to it. One is, you know, he has been confronting our adversaries around the world. You know, you mentioned briefly a moment ago, you know, our problems aren't just with Russia. I mean, we have another big peer competitor, China, who's been very aggressive, and I think the administration has appropriately confronted those situations. But, you know, on a more traditional route, Biden has worked very closely with our allies to try to get them, you know, all on the same page. And this has been hard because, you know, if you think about Europe, a lot of different countries there, and particularly Germany, one of the staunchest of our allies, that has a new coalition government. It's a parliamentary system, so usually one party doesn't have a majority. And, you know, there's been some real questions about how firm they're going to be, you know, with the Russians. And so I think Biden's done a lot of really good work, a lot of it behind the scenes, you know, to try to get NATO and our other allies all on the same page.
John, let me ask you this. We talked about the Republican Party and a divide there. What about on the D side? Are they all feeling good about Joe Biden, or is there some separation on that side?
You know, there is some separation among the Democrats with regard to President Biden. He's, you know, really pretty much from the moderate wing of the party. He's tried very hard to work with the progressives. You know, some people would say maybe he's gone a little too far on some issues to, you know, to get the supports of the followers of Bernie Sanders and other of the more progressive Democrats. But, you know, now there's a lot of moderates who are, you know, kind of disappointed with Biden. Now, part of this is when things are not going well, you know, everybody tends to point fingers. But, you know, President Biden has to pay attention to his own party and do what he can to get them unified. This is really hard to do. But I think it's particularly hard among the Democrats because of their internal diversity. And so we'll see, you know, how this goes forward. Certainly the president has a lot of work within his own party to do.
Dr. John Green with us, University of Akron, professor of political science. John, one more question. I think Gene has it for you from our newsroom. Gene, come on in here.
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Green. I wonder, I think that there's perhaps a disconnect maybe in the public memory right now why Ukraine is such a big deal. I mean, it was Ukraine and President Trump's call to their president last year that touched off the first impeachment hearings and the call for impeachment and actually getting impeached. I wonder if you could tie this all together. I mean, Ukraine is such a big deal. People are kind of thinking of it disconnected now because this is a new administration. But doesn't it all tie back to the whole thing with Putin and Trump and, you know, Ukraine, et cetera?
Oh, absolutely. Really good question. I mean, the situation in Ukraine has been a problem since the fall of the Soviet Union. You know, the Ukraine had been part of the Russian Empire before there was a Soviet Union. When the Soviet Union broke up, all the different republics became at least quasi-independent. And Ukraine really wanted to be independent, but there they are on the doorstep of Russia. And there are many, many people in Ukraine really want to become part of Europe. That means becoming part of Europe in terms of economics, but also in terms of security. And so we have this, you know, ongoing dispute. Vladimir Putin really thinks that the Ukraine, while nominally independent, is part of the Russian sphere of influence. The United States and NATO thinks, no, they're an independent country. You know, after all, Poland and other countries were under the sway of the Soviet Union. They're now independent. Why can't the Ukrainians do this? So there's a long-standing problem there, and you're right. And a lot of it goes back to the Trump administration, but even before that, I want to remind your listeners that in 2014, the Russians invaded Ukraine and took away Crimea, which is the part of the Ukraine that's down on the Black Sea. So, yeah, there's some history here. This has been an area of conflict for quite some time.